Meeting, so if you're not here for Sylvisa, take your conversations outside.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Do we have a quorum? That would be my first question. We do. All right. I see a member at the door, but we don't need him, so we won't worry about it. First item on the agenda for the Salt Lake Valley Law Enforcement Service Area, and by the way, it's January 18, 2018. First item on the agenda, public comment. Is there any member of the public who wishes to speak to the board? I see none. We'll go to item number two, conflicts of interest. I do not see any issue that would concern us around the conflict, so we'll go to item number three. I welcome the new Board of Trustees. I welcome you all. Feel wanted, because you are. Item number four, selection of the chair for 2018. Now, I think that I've been chair since the creation of this organization. I've got it down pretty good, but I have no sense of ownership. So if somebody would like to volunteer to be chair, that would be just fine with me. And if you don't, you know, I can serve another term if it's up to you. So I, whatever the board's pleasure, but I'm not going to make a motion. So,
I would just note that the chair needs to be available for the bond signings. The chair needs to be available for certain other times that we have to go and do different things. And so it goes kind of about a little bit above and beyond this meeting. So be aware of that if you're going to, you know, want to go down that road. That there are a few things that we need to coordinate with you in order to have your availability.
Yeah. Well, I motion that Councilman Bradley remain as chair.
Second.
That's 5 seconds.
I appreciate your guys' support. Thanks so much. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Item number five, legislative session. There's no action requested. Does anybody have any?
So this is just informational. We just want to make the board aware that we're issuing an RFP for lobbyists. Our last lobbyist contract expired in 2018 or 2017, so we're issuing that to get that in public session. Once we award that contract, then we'll definitely let this board aware. If you want to be a part of the selection committee as well, that please let me know and we can make that happen as well.
Is there any member of the board that would like to? It may not be a bad idea for at least to have some representation. Do you, Steve, do you have any interest in anyone? All right. Pardon?
I don't mind doing it.
All right. Invite Steve to your meetings and make it work.
And then with that, the Utah Association of Special Districts also provides like a weekly summary, or sometimes there are daily summaries as well, different legislations that will impact special service districts. Our legal counsel, Carl Hendrickson, will review those and provide updates as the session goes. We'll provide that correspondence back to this board as well. So just
okay.
Those emails will come throughout the session, either from myself or Carl. So.
Now, the substantive issue on the agenda, item number six, is the Sylvisa Administrator. Where are we and what have we got?
So that's a great question. So we presented this a few now, times.
This is actually to replace Andrew. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. So
have you applied for this?
Background, I haven't applied for it, but so to provide some background for our new board members, Scott and I really have two roles that we play. We administer some of the district stuff, and Scott is the treasurer of the service area as well. And then we also have our UPD role, where we're finance manager and the CFO. So we kind of a dual relationship here. What we'd like to do to provide some of that independence for the district is to hire a sole independent administrator for the service area. Currently, right now, I've been occupying that in a more of a part-time role, if you will, roughly between 15 and 25 hours a week, just kind of depending on what part of the cycle we're in, you know, how much time that demands. But I will say that's kind of the bare minimum of what that 15 and 25 hours is. So you might have seen us out there at your councils, just this past August through October timeframe for the tax increase, just to get the support of the tax increase. But other than that, you don't see us at all out there. where the vision would be with a full-time administrator is they'd have more of that community engagement. So you would see this individual more. You could understand each townships and what those demands are and relationships and what those service needs are, and then be able to help better communicate that of what the whole the service area's needs are as well from a full-time perspective. So we put two plans together, put together more of a part-time. That's just the checklist to make sure statutorily the district is doing the things that it needs to do, and then also if we went above and beyond to what that full-time administrator could do to provide some more of that community engagement, be more involved in the legislature to help with some of be on the forefront of some of the bills that come out versus just kind of that aftermath. And then also have that independence for this board to be able to have that full-time community liaison. So those are kind of the difference between the two plans. This would replace me as the administrator for what this board's direction is. If you want to continue to be on a part-time basis or on more of a full-time basis for the district. The cost difference, part-time, it ranges between $40,000 to $60,000, depending on the kind of ideal from either a consultant or a part-time individual. A full-time employee would be somewhere in the range, we're estimating between $115,000 to $150,000 with a full compensation package is what that would. The other benefit with a full-time individual versus a part-time is you get that community, you get that buy-in and that support and that longevity of an employee. If we're on a part-time or a consultant basis, you might see more turnover in that individual versus a full-time employee. So.
And I'll just throw in, if you have a full-time administrator during the session, they can go up on the Hill and interact with the lobbyist and probably get a little bit more bang for your buck up there. And like Andrew said, they will have more of a personal connection with each of your different communities because they'll be able to come out and visit your communities during your different council meetings and things that you do. So you'll get a little bit more maybe personal resonation through the organization, I think, if you go down that road. There is a cost difference that you do need to be aware if you go down the road. So, you do need to be aware of that aspect of it.
So the adoption of this would put what into motion?
It's more direction to staff to, then go recruit for either a part-time or a full-time individual. And then obviously we come up with that MOU and that agreement based on how that employee, as far as the chain of command, who they'll report to and all that will come at a later time. But this is more just kind of what direction would the board like to see, and then we'll come back with that plan.
And what's the timing on this, do you suspect?
If for a full-time, this is actually a perfect time to have a full-time individual come online, because right now we're just considering the legislative part of it. And then we'll be going out with the TAMs, will be our next busy time frame coming up. But really where the rubber meets the road is come March, April, May, is where that budget, setting the tax rates, then getting involved into what the next tax rate might be for 2019 in the future. So I would say the involvement of that plan, you get the direction today, come back with what that detailed plan is in February, and then really start that recruitment process after the February board meeting.
Okay.
Since the board has seen that plan.
What participation do you need from the board at this point?
Looking for part or full?
Yeah, exactly. Just kind of what would the board desire? Is it a part-time individual or a full-time individual?
Do you have an opinion?
Quite frankly, I would highly recommend a full-time individual. I just think that the commitment level you get from a full-time individual versus someone doing a part-time, whether it's a part-time individual or a consultant, I think the value of having a full-time person will be much better served for the district or the service area than a part-time individual.
It's the way things are now, is it creating a conflict?
I would say workload, is definitely demand of way up. I'd say workload on myself, me and Scott, they're obviously hiring an individual to relieve some of that workload is going to definitely help versus a part-time versus a full-time individual. There will be times where a full-time individual, there might not be much going in with the district as far as the statutory requirements, but that would be their opportunity now to get out into the communities and really engage and really educate what the service area is and help with the communities versus just, you know, providing that checklist.
You know, you're correct. There's that component of that position that, and this isn't a fault of your own. You're just been, you know, terribly overworked. But there is a whole lot in terms of the public relations and getting that into the community that comes back and serves us very, very well. And it's not a complicated system, but it takes some explanation to people to understand how it works and what are the benefits. And that's something that I think we could do more of. And like I say, this isn't a reflection on your productivity. It's certainly been great. But I think the more we do of that, the better off we are.
Yeah.
So that fills up the extra time that may exist at certain points in the year.
Correct. Maybe just another comment towards Councilman Cutler's, you know, kind of question there is, I don't think we do have any conflicts of interest from a philosophy standpoint right now with Andrew, you know, doing, you know, kind of both halves of the job for the district here as well as for UBD. But the potential for that to exist is there.
Well, so, that's basically why I asked.
Yeah. And so that's why
one of the first things that came to my mind.
Yeah. That's why we recommend that we do go down this road of creating this position, having it not report to me, because I am Andrew's, you know, boss and stuff, have a report directly to the board in terms of, you know, direction and things that they do and trying to avoid the potential to have a problem. We don't think there is one right now, but we don't want to go down the road and have a problem at some point in time in the future.
Yeah. Chair, I'd like to hear Carl's opinion.
I think hiring an administrator is a good idea, and I think hiring an administrator with enough time that he can make it out in communities is very important. You've had communities leave the service area, and part of that I think is the lack of someone who's out there communicating and building kind of the sense of what the district provides. Because unless you have a vision as to what cooperative activity really provided for you, particularly in the funding model, it's hard to keep it together. So I think you get some real benefit out of having a full-time administrator, or at least one with enough time to do that.
Thank you.
I guess at this point I'll entertain a motion to adopt the course of action as explained and move forward with the idea of a full-time administrator.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item
I abstain from that vote because I just don't know what role is yet. So I just don't.
All right, that's
before
fine.
We move on.
Yes.
I'm seeing this $115K to $150K. That's a $35,000 a year spread. Do you narrow that down a little more?
So and that,
hourly or salary?
And that's the process we'll go through now is do some more of that market evaluation and really what that's driven based on wage and some of those percentage benefits that go with that. So now that we know this direction, we'll go down and do that market study of saying what does an administrator, what is a fair compensation package for an administrator?
Would that be hourly or salary?
No, that's total compensation. So their actual wage would probably be maybe between $75,000 and maybe $95,000. And then the benefits would be on top of that. That's why the range, you know, goes above and beyond that. But we'll come back to probably in the February meeting and let you know, this is the range that we're seeing. Are you okay with that? And get approval from you and then start the recruiting process at that time.
Oh, sir. Would that be salary then?
Yeah.
Based on how many hours a week?
I would anticipate it would be a salary position.
Yeah, so currently, I just give you an idea, right now I spend anywhere between 15 to 25 hours a week on a part-time basis. So full-time individual, you know, from a salary point, there'd be some time where I'd have to fill, you know, 25, or 15 or 10 other hours doing some more of this community engagement type stuff.
So it seems like salary and telephone, maybe 15. So.
Yeah.
And UPD will handle our own employees benefits package and salary.
That's one of the things that we need to look at from an administrative standpoint, because if we do have this individual being an employee of Lisa, right now Lisa does not have an employee, and so that becomes burdensome because there are a lot of tax forms, withholding forms, and other things that need to be handled and taken care of if we go down that road. The other is benefit package and so on and so forth. And there are required reports that have to be submitted to URS and other things like this. So there's a lot that goes into this. So, I mean, obviously from my perspective, which is a somewhat simplified perspective, I'd like them to be an actual appointed employee of UPD, but have the task that their assignment is with Slovisa, and UPD just costs all of their costs out to Slovisa. Now, Carl had an opinion that maybe that may not totally be the best way to handle it and stuff, but I don't know.
I think it's a question of the degree of control the Slovisa board maintains over the employee. Whether if it's just a pure cost reimbursement, I have less problem than if it's a chain of command, giving them direction, being able to influence the policy outside of the Slovisa board.
Yeah. Does that give us the separation we need? That we're after, you know, that's what we're doing is trying to create that separation, and then we're going to just give the employee back to the
community. Yeah. Harry's come to me with a desire to start putting together a memorandum of understanding between the two entities, which is probably a good idea, both in terms of how you budget and what kind of base services are provided. And this would actually have to be part of that.
All right. Motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
David, thanks for the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
If there's no other business, we stand adjourned. Thank you.